regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh scrubs. Call me private label, I be leaving.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 99, almost hitting 100, son,
yeah,
of the Permaculture
there.
Pimp Cast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, man. We'll talk about the level of good here after a while, but it's not bad at all. Hey, y'all, as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And y'all, I gotta say, I could not be more pleased with those seeds. 100% germination, and that's like 15% more than what they promised. So, yeah, not a bad little thing to have. Or a bunch of seeds that they're not GMO. They're not.
They're heirloom.
They're heirloom, yeah.
Advertise them as the varieties your grandparents grew.
And they are. And it's not something that's so wacky that it's not going to work. But you got to get out there and practice. You got to put foot to butt. But they also have a lot of other helpful stuff over there. We talk often about all the things you ought to put back, especially for these times. But you're going to find out that they can maybe fill in the gaps of some of your preparedness where you may not have it all set. This episode also can be checked out on the Fountain app where you can tip a pimp. Go over there, check us out, listen to all your podcasts over there, and don't forget to check out my man Jack Spearco's Survival Podcast and all the other podcasts over there right after you check out the Permaculture Pimp Cast. So I'm not going to fool around today, y'all. Get straight into it. Tip of the day. It's going to make sense later. Fail while daring greatly. That quote is basically a snippet from Teddy Roosevelt. It's one of my favorite speeches of all time. It's called the Man in the Arena speech. And I cannot believe how unbelievable and powerful that is. Now, I got a love-hate with Teddy Roosevelt for a whole variety of reasons. I could actually do shows and shows and shows about the reasons why. But that speech is paramount, especially to everybody out there. I want you to check it out. Just Google Man in the Arena speech by Teddy Roosevelt.
I was going to ask, how do they find it? So yeah. Man in the Arena?
Man in the Arena, Teddy Roosevelt. Go read it for yourself. And by the time we're done here today, I think it's going to make sense. But the part I want you to remember, it's the one thing I got drilled into the head of my niece who had this intense fear of failure about certain things. And I said, look, every time I ask her, every time I get a chance, I ask her, how do we fail? And she says, while daring greatly. Okay. It's going to make sense here in a minute, y'all. All right, y'all, we're going to get straight into the farm news. Your mama's been out there canning like nobody's business, son.
Yeah, she's been canning. Okay. So I'm on the carnivore diet, and mom's been canning strawberry jam all day.
All day.
All day. And yesterday, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and
that's
she didn't
a bit
even
of a
put
struggle.
A dent. She did not even put a dent in those strawberries out there.
No.
Man, sadly.
There's
I mean,
some freeze drying. Well, I don't know if they're currently if it's currently running, but there's some getting prepared for the freeze dryer.
Yeah, I mean we're having that freeze dryer go night and day this time of year. I mean it's saving our bacon in so many different ways. But your mom, part of it was, I mean, we give a lot away, but part of her impetus for doing this is like she just felt it in her heart. She told me that she really feels the need that we need to put back every single thing we possibly can.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Before this freeze dryer, you know, it's just can.
Yeah.
Freeze dryer takes a whole lot of it. I mean, it buys you so much time and then it preserves it forever in a day with all the nutrients still locked in. Gotta say, man, that's probably one of the best purchases we ever made.
Oh, for sure.
All
and
right.
If you want one, aren't they linked down below?
Yeah, we got that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We always talk about that at least in the third segment. But yeah, that freeze dryer is definitely saving our bacon. Has been for 2 years now and haven't had any problems with it. Just keep up on the maintenance, which today you drain the oil on that thing, right?
Yeah, filtered it, added some new oil. Also, we got to replace the filter on that one. Replace the filter on the actual filter itself. But yeah, I mean, the maintenance is really easy.
Well, it's funny you mention that because as far as our preparedness items, like things like this, I heard pinball preparedness talk about the other day. All these little items that you can that you need to be putting back.
Yeah.
And I don't care how good you are at this or if you've been doing it for two decades like us, it doesn't matter. There's always some hole in your game. And then, believe it or not, he said something that struck a chord with me and it had to do with socks. And I was like, okay, I need to go order more socks long before wintertime rolls around. So I like those Cloudline socks.
Those I like those darn tough ones.
Well, I like them too.
Yeah.
I like them too. And I love the fact that you give me a lifetime warranty on socks. I know you probably got a good product. So I went over there and I ordered some of those. But then in addition to that, it made me think, okay, what else don't I have? So while I was sitting there, I'm waiting on something. It's late night. And your mom's already back there sleeping, and I'm out there working on something. And I'm like, okay, well, there was that thing from Skywatch TV, that latest video series that came out from Skywatch TV. I want to get that, so I ordered that. That's about the only money I really spend on myself is, like, socks. And then this video.
Socks, shirts, and like, documentaries on, like, obscure streaming services.
Yeah, I don't buy, I mean... I don't spend money. I get my joy, honestly, and I say it on YouTube all the time. The biggest joy of my day in terms of the work I do is seeing animals on new ground. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
When I see them on new ground and I see how happy they are, you know you're doing it right. So, you know, that's where I derive a lot of my joy. But anyway, I got on there and I was thinking, okay, what other things do I need? So I got another sock brand I thought I'd try out because the ones I wanted were sold out. And all wool socks, yeah. You know, we don't stick them in the dryer. They got to air dry.
Well, those darn tough ones you can dry.
Well, I don't dry.
Say on the package you can dry them.
Man, I go right back to what Eric Seider always said. The whole notion of cooking my clothes, I never liked it, especially when it comes to wool. I'm making absolutely sure, man, them suckers are getting hung out.
I dry all my clothes because half the time I'm washing jiu-jitsu stuff, and instead of doing separate loads, half the time I just include it with the rest of my laundry. And I just dry everything on like a low temperature setting.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I've been really thinking about all those little items that we don't have enough of, and you reminded me today, like the filter for the freeze dryer. You said, hey, I got to order. And I was like, I never ordered those before. Okay, how am I doing on Mylar bags? All right, need to get some of those too.
Yeah.
And oxygen absorbers. I have some, but do I have enough? So, that's all on the order thing. So, folks, in these times, not going to beat you over the head with it, but I am going to say that you have got to have your preparedness on point, no matter what that looks like. I mean, I know all of us have less money these days because of inflation. It's not that things cost more. It's just your dollars worth less, but any spare couple of dimes you can put together to go get yourself anything extra you need, please get it done. All right. So other farm news, still got a massive pile of wood to get off the side of that mountain. And, hey, before I forget about it, I want to give a shout out to LT over And We Know.
Oh yeah.
Here's the crazy thing about that, y'all. You're not going to believe this. So today, I actually wrote to LT at the podcast called And We Know, okay? I had no idea that he promoted us on his channel.
Yeah.
Had zero idea. Didn't even know it. I wrote to him saying, hey, man, you ever want to, you know, get your listeners tightened up on, you know, how to feed themselves and their animals for free, you know, maybe you might want to talk to me. Sure enough, I'm like, how did this dude read this and put this up? What did he put it on? I mean... I have no idea. And then I find out I'm listening to his program as I'm working out in the garage. And I'm like, hold on. He says, hey, he brings up Permapasture Farm. I'm like, oh, that's real cool. And I want to thank whoever, you know, turned him on to us. I do appreciate it. So we went on to repairing the driveway today. So me, your mom got that squared away. So
got the truck inspected too.
Yeah. Got that truck inspected and, I'm glad the driveway's done. So at least I'll get joy of having one day where it's functional before Kendra and Emily absolutely destroy it.
Okay. Hold on. They don't destroy it until there's like a single bump. Once there's a bump, then everything's falling apart.
I don't, man. But I'm watching.
As long as it stays flat, everything's fine.
I'm seeing Kendra.
But if there's a single bump.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I got a rear wheel drive truck, and I get up and I ain't slipping. Man, they get up yesterday. Emily stopped and then, I'm hearing rocks. And then Kendra, she's driving off the road to get up the hill.
Once there's a bump, then those two cars, you can't do any. That's how steep this property is.
I gotta see about what it's going to take to pave this thing, man.
We can at least regrade it first, and then like there's other things we can do before we repave it.
Well, we'll have to check it out. Yeah. Yesterday, doing my running around, rolled by Target. Yeah, to get footage for an upcoming video, I rolled by Target. I said, you know what? Let me go inside here. Now, I hear about this boycott that's going on, but I'll tell you what, it ain't applying in Asheville, because every fruitcake this side of Mississippi was in Target, and I'm talking guys and gals alike. I went through the baby section, and there was another guy, a young guy, in there. He was filming. I don't know what he was filming for. I ended up pulling him off to the side and said a couple of words, said hi and what's up, how's it going? Apparently, all of the people that are upset about Target taking that stuff off the shelf, I wish I'd have got video footage of this. They literally took all the other clothes in the baby section and threw them on the floor, the ones that didn't have Pride stuff. And then you go to another section of the store, I did get video of this, where they got Pride this and Pride that. And then, you know, and then I hear today Bud Light, I think I saw it on Mike Adams' things, Bud Light is actually doubling down. I think they gave $200,000 to LGBTQIZ, whatever the case may be. And I'm like, do you not know who your customers are? People are making jokes like, hey, you look like the kind of guy that would be drinking a Bud Light in front of Target.
Yeah.
You know your business.
You can imagine what that.
You know you are done with your demographic when Bud Light is what, I mean, a lot of the guys I used to work with, man, I'm sure that's what they drink when they go to the lake. Not anymore.
Nope.
Not anymore. Anybody with testosterone is like, yeah, I don't think so. But I don't
know what
else. There's
plenty of jokes to be said that we can't say on here.
Well, I tell you what, I'm untuckable. Yeah, we're the untuckables.
Too big to tuck.
I like big tucks, and I cannot lie, man. This thing can go every kind of way imaginable. And honestly, the best thing with a lot of this stuff is just to make fun of it. This is the one thing that the people, especially in the levers of power, all around this world, the thing they hate most, according to Lou Rockwell, and he's right, is to be laughed at, to be mocked. All the things that they want you to take seriously, if you don't, they don't know how to work with it. But on another note, son, before I move on from there, so I went to Target, and then I stopped by this coffee shop that's like on alongside the river. Not going to say who they are, but I'm out there, and I get some coffee because I'm thinking, okay, on this diet I'm doing, man, you know, I can drink coffee, so let me go over here and get some. I get over there, get this coffee, and sure enough, it's like, I'm like, man, I look over there, I'm like, what's up with all those women over there? I get closer as I'm drinking this coffee. I just try to do this lap. And I'm like, oh, dude, look like a lady. Those ain't women, dude. And there's like a gang of them out there. I don't know if they're taking this LGBT whatever thing on steroids, but they were all out in this park by the coffee shop. I've never seen so many ugly women in my life. And
I mean,
these were men.
They don't even try. They just throw on a dress. They just decide, like, today I'm going to be a woman and throw on a dress with their like, half mullet and full beard.
Well, I'll tell you what really freaked me out. And this is on another same day. I go into a health food store as I'm checking out. Not really. I had to go into this health food store and get some, something for your mom. Some of these mushrooms from Paul Stamets or whatever. So I go into this place and I get these mushrooms. And as I'm checking out, I even wrote this down because I was like, nobody's ever going to believe this, but I remember it. The guy's wearing a shirt. He stinks like nobody's business. It's like all of these Satanists, for some reason, have to stink. It's like part of their sacrament. Five different colors of hair. Okay, that's your business. And then I see a shirt, and it's like in the image of a U.S. flag. But the flag is entirely, the red, white, and blue, everything is made entirely out of upside-down crosses. Okay?
Yeah.
And I wish I had my phone right now, but it had a little thing, and it was like, oh, shoot. It was something like One Nation, No God. That's what it said.
Yeah.
On this shirt. And I'm looking at this guy, and I look down, and ordinarily I'd be upset and angry, but I felt pity for this guy. I prayed for him as I left. And I'm like, man, I can't even believe it. Every time you go to Asheville, I'm telling you what, you will find more self-avowed Satanists than you will Christians.
Yeah, the first thing you walk into at Books, or not Books a Million, what's it called? Barnes and Noble, or like witchcraft, or Wiccan books, or like spell books, or whatever. It's not Bibles.
No, no. And it makes me wonder how ripe for judgment we must be. Hey, y'all, before I forget, coming up here before long is going to be the Heritage Life Skills Festival. It's going to be July 21st through the 23rd. You got that listed down below, son?
I believe so. If not, it will be this episode.
All right. So we were supposed to have it last episode. Hopefully it's there. If not, I want to remind you we're going to be there, but I'll tell you who else is going to be there. More important, the guy who wrote the book 1 Second After, William Forstchen, Dr. William Forstchen. He's going to be there, keynote speaker. You're going to want to go to this one, y'all. And plus, I'm telling you what, that Carolina readiness store out there is off the meat wagon.
Yeah, I still haven't been there. I want to go.
Yeah, that place is really, really awesome. And honestly, that town is just so cool. So many good places to eat. Didn't seem like it was woke to me. Not me and your mom didn't spend a whole lot of time there, but it was good food where we ate. So it was definitely good to go. All right. With that said, y'all, we're going to get into my pastor, homesteading pastor. Be sure you check him out on YouTube.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, we're not to be anxious about anything, but be prayerful about everything and be thankful of the things that we pray about and the things that God has already blessed us with, and make our specific requests unto God. By doing this, the peace of God will come upon us that the world cannot understand. They can't comprehend the peace that passes all understanding. And it will keep our hearts and our minds secure through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, inaction breeds fear. The only reason a bully keeps bullying is because you don't fight back. Fear is the path that leads to the dark side. Not only that, we can gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which we really stop and look fear in the face. Remember this in closing. The more peace we have, the less fear we have.
Amen to all that.
Pastor, does he know the topic? Did he know the topic
before? Yeah. I actually asked Pastor Lon. This is the only time I've ever asked him for a specific message. It's all going to make sense here, y'all. And be sure, go over there, check out his YouTube channel. I've really enjoyed the thing with him and Miss Robbie. Every time they're on that front porch, they are doing astonishing things over there. But honestly, you can get fed. Remember, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we get a lot of our guidance over there from Pastor Lon. Does a whole lot for all of us. So go over there, check him out, subscribe. You'll be glad you did.
I was going to say, man, he really did have this place tapped.
No, he has just, in the past. Yeah. It's like in the past, it was like, good night. No, this is the one time I've ever asked him, could he do a particular message? It's all going to make sense here in a minute. But let's get into the bad news, good news section. All right, check this one out. Oh, man, it wasn't long ago I was in Arizona. Arizona announces limits on construction in the Phoenix area as groundwater disappears. You're in a desert.
It's because y'all keep funneling it out, too.
Yeah, you're in a desert. You're not recharging your aquifers. And this is the consequence of what happens in a place like that. And I was talking to somebody recently how it floored me. There was only one house that I saw my whole time there that did anything in terms of rainwater capturing. Only one house. Two houses. Let me take that back. The Earthship actually collects its own rainwater. And I'm not even sure, even on that roof, it is enough for them to supply their own needs. Even though he's collecting every drop of rain that comes off that house, I don't even think that's enough.
Well, there was a guy who just commented. Apparently, he lives in the same area as that guy. He said he has a couple of rental properties, and they can't, like, he won't rent out a house unless they have a basic understanding of, like, basically permaculture.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see the entire place, but I just couldn't believe how few people are actually collecting water in a desert. So, Peter out there in that Earthship, man, if it ever goes dry, everybody out there where he was had a well. And I'm like, okay, man, is anybody doing anything to recharge these aquifers? No. The idea is whenever they get these rains, these torrential rains, they basically just divert everything away. I'm like, good night, man. The whole notion of capturing this, I had dreams literally about how cool it would be to green that desert, because it can be done.
Yeah. Especially with what we're learning now. I wonder how much faster it could be done.
Yeah, we could do it with just regular means, but I think we could turbocharge it. I know that we can kick it on another level. All right, so let's get into the good news. All right, so What Is a Woman? That documentary that came out a while ago reaches number one for streaming movies on Rotten Tomatoes. even though the powers that shouldn't be did everything they possibly could to try to suppress that movie, I actually, that's one I'm going to buy. I'm actually going to go rent it, buy it, whatever the case may be. When I saw that article, I'm like, I remember when it first came out, and I think it came down from the Daily Wire. I was like, huh, I'd really like to check and see what this is. I mean, I'd like to see somebody make this argument or what the argument is from the other side. I'm thinking, okay, that's good news to me, because it seems like this wokey, despite what these corporations are doing, the people that are that hyper, quote, woke, are starting, I think, to wake up, because the days of darkness have a way of making you see the light. Yeah. This is why I always told people, why are you so fearful? Why are you apologizing to the weakest element of our society? I never understood this. You know, you say maybe you misspeak or whatever, and then you go on this apology tour. Believe me, folks, in my former life, I was trained as a Marxist in my former life as a union rep in the union, okay? I was trained. Whenever you apologize, they double down on their attacks. I can list chapter and verse of all the people who may have said something wrong. If they would have just said, hey, yeah, I said it. What are you going to do about it?
I'm a pimp.
P-I-M-P. If they would have done that right from the get-go, they would have never had any problems. The vitriol would have came out there. But then they go on these apology tours, and then they get disbanded anyway. But think about it. Every time we do woke, every time we go to, let's say, woke conferences, no vendor at any woke conference makes a dime.
And the hallways are funky.
Yeah.
Every single time, the people are funky.
Nope. No, I mean, you don't make a dime.
Yeah.
But I'm like, so that's when it hit me. Why is everybody kowtowing to these people? They're not going to buy your stuff anyway. They're going to yell and carry on. They're not buying anything. Why do I care? Even if you bought my stuff or not, it's not worth my self-worth to sit here and play along. So I'm glad that movie, I don't think there's as many people. I really think people are starting. It was hard for me to see it, but maybe not the people around us, but I think people more and more are starting to fight back.
But also, they're doing free promotion. If they're protesting you, they're just telling more people about your brand. And then there's going to be more people that support you just because those types of people are protesting you.
Well, protest me all you want, because I can tell you right now, I'm going to make the most viral video you ever saw in your life the next time somebody asks me to put on a mask.
We've been trying to get canceled.
Yeah. They're going to cancel me when this happens, because I promise you, I'm going to roll right up into that bakery, buck naked, with a mask on, and say, and then when they try to throw me out, I'm going to say, what? Is it because I'm black?
And I record the whole thing. It'll go on Patreon, right?
No. This thing's going on.
We can't go on Patreon.
It's going on YouTube.
Put it on YouTube, Dad. It's going to get blocked before we even upload it.
Yeah.
They check videos before it even goes up now.
You can black out the relevant parts, because honestly, plus I don't want to be the one responsible for a lot of people no longer thinking all men are created equal. So we're going to have to black out some stuff there. Hey, and honestly,
let's do a blacked area that's just dragging behind like a tail.
All right, let's not get too blue here. But the point being is that, like I said, the best thing, like JP, the reason why he is so unbelievably successful is that he mocks the lunacy.
That's his full name. JP, Awaken with JP, is that it?
Yeah, Awaken with JP.
Yeah.
The reason why he and Brewer, I can't think of his name, Dan Brewer, Jim Brewer. The reason these guys are so successful at what they do, first of all, the people on these hardcore lefties, these wokey wokens that are the least productive people on the planet, they don't get this kind of humor. It's like if you go to Seattle or Portland, nobody laughs. Nobody smiles. None of that goes on, because it is everybody's, first of all, a stoic, even though they don't know what that means. That thinks you just walk around like stone-faced, and that's what a stoic is. Anyway, let me get on to this other good article. More than 80% of Anderson Cooper's $12 million salary is paid by Pfizer, warns RFK Jr. Like an RFK Jr., every day, even more and more and more.
Yeah. I mean, that's already more information than Donald Trump gave during his whole presidency.
Yeah, but you know what else I'd like for him to point out? And it could be him. I want to know how much money Sean Hannity and all those. The reason why I can't stand the people like Sean Hannity the most is because they are the consummate definition of Cicero's speech that he gave to the Roman Senate. Folks, another thing you want to look up, The Enemy Within. The Enemy Within speech by Cicero. And you're going to find out the most dangerous person out there is the enemy within. You got Hannity, Pawn Vanity, as Michael Savage used to call him, literally going out there wearing CIA lapel pins, so you know who he's working for. He's like a NASCAR driver. You got him, and you got all these others going out there telling everybody, go get jabbed up, go get whatever. Hannity, Levin, all the rest of them. I want to know how much money they get and where it comes from. Yeah. Because I'll bet money as much, maybe not as much, but nearly as much, comes from Pfizer to all those people over there that claim to be on the right. The same people that were going out there telling you and your family to go get poisoned up. All right, y'all, when we get back in, we're going to have a special guest on the Permaculture Pimp Cast. All right, y'all. All right. So here it is. My new sidekick over here is, you might want to put on those headphones, honey. Yeah, I got the Homestead Honey up in here, a.k.a. the Permaculture Princess, a.k.a. Michelle. And I'm probably going to have a whole bunch of different titles before it's all said and done. But she's sitting in the co-host chair right now. How you doing, honey?
With our special guest.
You got to get closer.
With honey. Our special guest, Thuggy.
Thuggy?
Ginger.
I don't hear your mom. In fact, I don't even hear me. We had us. Okay. So apparently that was all messed up. I had us all on mute because I thought she was going to be making a bunch of racket over here. My special guest right now on the Permaculture Pimpcast is the Homestead Honey.
It's actually Ginger.
Ginger.
She's our special guest. We have to give an update on Ginger.
Not Ginger. It's Thuggy. It's Thugnificent. You like Thugnificent, don't you?
She's all fixed, and now she can go back outside and run around and catch all the mice.
Yeah, you're a killer. Show me your war face. Yeah, she is definitely a stone cold killer out there at night. And then Michelle brings this cat during the hay with mice juice all over, rolling up in this house. But anyway, she had, when I told her, hey, you got to come on this podcast earlier, or Pimpcast, earlier today, only thing she can think of is, I'm bringing my cat.
People want an update.
No, Michelle, you are the Ellie Mae Clampett of Permapastures Farm. And folks, she thought the Beverly Hillbillies was a documentary. I kid you not. Yeah. But we're going to get right down to it. Let me explain to you, first of all, before we get into this main topic, this segment brought to you by EMP Shield. Remember, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Give you 1,001 reasons why you might want to check that one out. But anyway, you know where to go to find it. Anyway. All right, y'all. This is one of those cathartic episodes again, and something I think that might be a very big help for a number of people out there that may be struggling with something that secretly I was struggling with. Okay. Let me kind of lay this out. This whole week, I didn't tell anybody what I was going to. Today, as we record this, is Monday. And probably since last Monday, I've been failing every single day, every day, on my power list. Anybody that's been around a while, you know what that is. I make a list of the 5 things that got to get done that day. And every single day for the previous 6 days until today, I've been failing. Reason why is because, and I wish now I'd have brought that list up in here, but the reason why is I would go through, I got everything done on that list, save one thing. That one thing was send out the new book that I co-wrote to Joel Salatin. Send it out to Jack Spearco. Send it out to David the Good. Send it out to Ann of All Trades. Send it out to Jason from Sow the Land. Send it out to all these people to either get them to write a foreword, or in the case of Jack, where it's the intro, or in the case of Joel Salatin, the foreword. Now, with everybody else, I meant to say, you know, for a blurb on the back of the book. So I have the copy of it, and I haven't done it for 5 days, 6 days. Fact is, and I admitted it to my family this morning when we were getting ready to do the chores, and I was kind of embarrassed, but I figured I had to say it. I said, look, I've been failing my list consistently because of fear. And what I was fearful about was, folks, this sounds absolutely ridiculous when you get down to it, is I've done things in my life that most people would never think about doing. I won't go down the list of what that is, but the list is long and very long. And so the whole notion of writing a book and putting it out there felt like I was laying myself so bare, more than I ever have before. In fact, the most uncomfortable thing, one of the most uncomfortable thing I ever did was the podcast I did right here on this show about the permaculture, how I became the permaculture pimp daddy or something like that. And when it was all said and done, I felt good about it. But honestly, I was secretly holding in the fear I had, the fear of rejection, the fear of somebody saying, hey, this is awful, or hey, I don't like this. And going right back to what I said in the tip of the show, fail while daring greatly. Well, something I forgot for about a week. And then what I learned from Joel Salatin, you know, if it's worth doing, then it's worth doing poorly at first. Well, there's some things in my book that you're not justified doing poorly at first, especially if people are spending their money on it in the form of a book. And I mean, it's not a magnum opus. It's not anything like that. But the whole notion of reaching out to some of my friends and acquaintances and people that I look up to, asking them to look at this thing, examine it, was honestly fearful to me. To the point that I was so embarrassed that I came clean with my family this morning, and I told William and Michelle this morning before we got started. And you'll find out, folks, that when you admit your failure, your fear, the things you've been struggling with to the people you love, believe it or not, it turns out being cathartic for them as well, which brings me to the homestead honey. So what did you tell me? As soon as I got finished telling you what I was going through, it was a little bit later because you usually take time to think about things before you start talking about them. But what did you tell me you were struggling with?
First of all, I just want to say thank you to everybody that was praying. Those prayers meant a lot to me, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. But the thing that I've been struggling with lately...
Before we get into that, the people that are new here are going to wonder what you're talking about.
I lost the little bottle baby that we had raised, and so Billy and William had told people on the podcast, and we got a bunch of messages saying, hey, we're praying for you. And that meant a lot to me. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody. But the thing that I was fearful of, was the, like, we're going through this soil food web course, which is something, it's pretty new information to us. And you have to go through this and learn the microscope course, learn what you're looking at, relearn how to use a microscope. There's all these things that you have to relearn. And at first, when I first started, also there was the, like, just overwhelming information that you're given at the time when you start the course. And it's like all in 50 different places, it seems like. So I'm trying to figure out all this information, figure out what I'm supposed to do. But the biggest thing for me is anything classroom, scholastic based, because it takes me right back to, like, school, specifically probably middle school is when it started, where I just did not learning was just a struggle. Sitting in a classroom and reading is not the way that I learn. So it was a struggle. And instead of working hard and getting to the other side of it, I just gave up because I just didn't think that I was smart enough to do it. So it's like that whole feeling just came back again where I was like, I'm better outside doing stuff with my hands, this book learning, and it's just not for me, and it's something I struggle with. But I just was determined to figure it out. If I have to break it down in like just get through one day at a time, I am going to figure this thing out.
Yeah, but back to the fear component. Was there, you were telling me that you had a fear. There's already a lot of fear going on in your family anyway. And we could call that one of those, maybe it's a generational curse to a certain extent. You were telling me that you were fearful about having to deal with this microscope, dealing with the unknown. So come full circle with that.
I guess, what do you mean come full circle?
Like, well, you didn't really address the fear that you told me you were having this morning about having to go back, look under a microscope, learn all these new skills.
Right, it's a new skill.
But you were fearful.
Right, and I was like, okay, this is something that I haven't done. I haven't looked under a microscope in years.
So your typical reaction was to go ahead and kind of recoil.
So my typical reaction that runs through my mind every time is, I'm just not going to do this because I'm just not smart enough to do it. Like, other people are smart enough to do it, but I'm just not one of those people, and I'm not going
to
do it.
So how did you get yourself to the point where you said, because the reason why I think this episode is so doggone important is because I get a lot of emails and they may not actually come out and say I'm fearful, but it's implied in their questions and in the YouTube channel as well. It's implied in what they say. There's a lot of fear going on. So how did you get yourself to say, okay, enough is enough of this fear and I'm going to go out here and give it a shot?
I have realized I can do this. Like, there are things that I have learned. I can do this. And also there's a saying, there's more than one saying, but it's a lot. I've seen it a lot lately where it's essentially whatever you're afraid of, you have got to run towards that fear.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite reaction that you instinctively have. It's to run away from it. But the reaction you should have is to just run for it and just attack it. And also another thing I've learned is if you break it down into steps, tiny baby steps, and don't think about the big picture, just do the baby steps. Get through and eventually you're going to get to a point where all this new information and these new skills, like, you've developed. I mean, I look at how far I've come just in 3 weeks, and I feel so much like the things that I thought, okay, this is really hard, it's not that big of a deal.
Right. It's just more of the unknown. But honestly, this is where I'm trying. This is why I felt this program had to be done, because when you responded to that, I said, look, you're going to have to be on the podcast tonight, because I know in particular, there's a whole lot of us out there that are dealing with this anchor we call fear, things that you will never, ever, ever try in your life, or this long list of things that you wish you had done, but you were too fearful. Look, man, and finally, I had to wind up saying to myself when it came to this, first of all, admit your shortcomings when it comes to your family, y'all. Believe it or not, when you screw up, go to them, say, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? Lay yourself before them, ask for their forgiveness. It's different than just saying sorry. When you're fearful about these things, go to them as well. Even though by that point, I had already kind of crossed the Rubicon mentally, I didn't say anything to them, but I wish now that I'd done it a day in instead of 6 days later. Maybe I could have gotten to the other side of this thing had I reached out and said, and then when I'm sitting here thinking in the pantheon of all the things I've ever done, this should seem like one of the easiest things. But for me, it wasn't. It was this foolish fear that kept me for 6 days from doing what I know I should do. And then honestly, I spent a fair piece of today writing to all the people I cited earlier. And to my surprise, what did I tell you? I wrote to every one of those, and the ones that responded today not only responded favorably to me as far as doing this, in one case, they were even thankful for me reaching out to them for them to do it. So the exact opposite of what I expected in terms of my fear, like, look, you big dope, why did you put together something like this? It was exactly the opposite. But this, I was raised in an environment by two older brothers who, just to get themselves through the horrors of their own lives, they created these facades, this picture of tougher than they actually are kind of people, when really they're not. But they had to create that persona just to get through what it was they were doing. And so they raised me and my younger brother with this notion that you can't ever fail, you can't ever do this. And then I look over the course of their lives and realize how many things they never even tried. Because admitting that you failed, the fear of failure kept them from living a full life. Now, I've gotten over that. Like I said, Joel Salatin himself actually got me through that. But then if you're not careful, the enemy's creeping up on the back door, like Pastor Lon was talking about. And they're giving you all these reasons why you should be fearful. And going right back to you, Michelle, and all these different milestones in your life, when you were at the University of Kansas, you were out there in Lawrence, Kansas, when you were getting your degree, and you did it with honors. And folks, she was really tough on herself, but you were like in calculus too, knocking it out of the park and all these other things. But despite all those different milestones, I've seen you still have to battle with this on your end, this same kind of fear. So I guess,
yeah, it just happens to be a different set of fears for me than it is for you. But everybody's got their own fears.
So, folks, when you were raising your little girls, like going right back to her childhood, she's the brains of the outfit around here, y'all, in so many different ways, but she'll never admit it. In fact, when she's in the company of other people, she pretends to be less intelligent. Am I wrong, son? William's back behind the camera.
He's not wrong.
She will pretend to be less intelligent for whatever reason. And I think it's because of fear of being intelligent, because she's highly intelligent. Folks seem to think I'm sharp. Well, she's sharper in a lot of other ways. But she has this fear. I don't know why. I think I know why, but this isn't really the place to talk about it. But there's even this fear of being too intelligent that you demonstrate. And I'm sure that's something that we gotta address in another thing. But folks, when you have little girls that are growing up, and I want you to recall real quick that story of when you were in welding school. This is after you graduated from college with honors and the whole nine yards. And you were in welding school. This is after all this. When she's going out there, you know, going after Moby Dick in a rowboat and taking tartar sauce with her, you had this experience where a grandparents brought in their little girl. Why don't you tell everybody real quick how that went down?
So, yeah, I had this fear of going to welding school because I thought, okay, they're not going to want to see a woman, like they're going to be just irritated that I'm there and put out, and they don't like, I know I'm not going to fit in. But the opposite was true. They were very welcoming and very helpful. And I think they were just happy that, you know, somebody was taking an interest in
it. Yeah, and she was so good, y'all. Here's going back to her being more modest. They wanted to make her an instructor, but let's get to the little girl that came in while you were in there doing
that
class.
So, well, the little girl didn't come in, but her grandparents came in because the school would have, like, you could bring stuff in to get it repaired. So this one older couple brought something in to get it repaired, and they were grandparents. So the lady asked me, she's like, you know, my granddaughter really wants to do welding, but her dad's telling her no. He's like, would you recommend that she go into welding? And I said, absolutely. there because people are going to be so helpful. It's a hands-on thing. Not everybody can sit in a classroom and learn that way. I was that way. I mean, I wish I would have had more opportunities in, you know, high school than we did. But I told her, like, bring her, like, you could even bring her here and to the welding school and just let her just look around and see if she would like it. But I was like, I would absolutely encourage her to do welding.
So the point of it being is that when you, especially, well, with everybody, with these kids, when you sit here and give them a long list of things that they can't do, then it has the same effect that it had on Michelle when she was little, because she was never encouraged to think, okay, develop your mind. Now, granted, her parents came from the same kind of, you know, worldview that my parents came from as well, where you go out there, get yourself a good job, retire, get the class, you know, get the ring after whatever. Well, the paradigm has changed completely. 100%. But we're saddling these kids, I really think this, with fear. And honestly, I mean, we're no spring chickens anymore. So if you and I are still struggling, despite all that we have accomplished, if I am still struggling with this, then I know within this listening audience, there's a whole lot of you out there that are struggling just as much as the two of us are, whether it's me and you're doing something that is so far outside of your wheelhouse, you never imagined yourself doing it, and you're afraid. Or it's like Michelle, where it's a new task, and you go right back to what you were in seventh grade, where you put all your all towards sports and physical activities, but she didn't put anywhere near because there was no focus on that. When her mind is as sharp as a tack, and she never had a chance to develop it. So even despite all those years of that idiotic training that I got, and it was idiotic, I mean, with the benefit of hindsight, and the mistakes that were done with you, folks, a number of you out there, you're our same age, or maybe you're older, perhaps you're a little bit younger, and you're saddled with asinine fear, going right back to what we talk about in this podcast, permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. There's a number of you out there that aren't getting started on that project. That's why I did the doggone project of how to tackle a big one all by yourself. Do it 45 minutes at a time. But you never get started because your fear, you're already failed before you start. Well, fail while daring greatly. Or maybe you're somebody out there who's thinking about, oh, shoot, I want to take a permaculture design course, but I don't think I'm smart enough. You know, mom and dad told me ever since I'm a little girl, I'm a dumb man. I hated this. Worked with a guy who had a blonde daughter, and she would do something. Oh, she's just a dumb blonde. She came out on the job one day to go drop him off something. And then it was like some running joke, and she was like, ah. And I was so sickening put out by it. This is years ago, back when we lived in Oklahoma. And the girl, you could tell, anybody with any sense at all could tell this girl didn't even, he said it in front of everybody else. And here it is, for the rest of her life, she's going to, probably very intelligent, but has already been taught and trained to believe that she couldn't be. And so what is that? So when she's challenged with anything, oh, let's just be fearful. Or another little girl that you and I know of told, oh, well, you know, when you grow, got to stay pretty, because when you grow up, who do they tell her to marry?
Got to marry a doctor.
Got to marry a doctor instead of just be the doctor, your doggone self. So I know that there's a lot of people out there struggling with this fear that was probably implanted in you, because how is it? What is that transition in our minds that makes us go from being a kid that feels like you can do anything and you try? What's that transition in everybody's life that makes us go from that to being a slave to the grind? Well, I know it has to do with some of the compulsory education. It has to do with a number of other things. But folks, if we are to get ourselves and our country out of this morass, this what seems like a hopeless state of affairs right now, then we got to stand up and start kicking butt. And it all starts with us, and it all starts with dealing with the fear that we have. Folks, I'm laying myself bare here, and I asked her to do the same thing because I know that there's at least one person in this audience that this is going to help. So I can't thank you enough. So y'all, I want to give a big shout out to my homestead honey. Look, y'all, she ain't the best in the business for nothing. Thanks a lot, honey. I know a lot of people are helped out there. He gon' save us, left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie. Alrighty. Always cool when we get the Homestead Honey in here. AKA your mom.
Yeah, it is burning up in this room.
It is as hot as those two cats in a wool sock, man. Talking about socks and cats. All right, y'all, this part of it brought to you by Harvest Right Freeze Dryers. We got a link down below. Go check them out, y'all. It's one of the best purchases. Look, I understand these things are pricey, but if you can possibly swing it, make it happen. If you can't, we've given a lot of other options out there as far as putting away beans and rice and how to do it.
This is one of those things where you should put some effort in trying to figure out how to acquire one, because it just saves so much of your harvest.
Or team up maybe with I thought about teaming up with a neighbor before, and I was like, we're going to need it at exactly the same time.
Right, yeah.
It didn't make any sense. Not for me, it didn't. So, y'all, look, that's one of those cathartic episodes, because I told Michelle, I didn't finish saying this in the previous segment, but as soon as I got finished writing everybody, this is the first time I got my power list done, and I honestly felt proud. I hadn't yet heard a response from anybody, and all I know is that I conquered the fear. I don't care if at this point everybody says, hey, this is the worst thing I ever seen in my life. It's unlikely, and I'm all about accepting constructive criticism. If you tell me, hey, this is jacked up, here's how you fix it, yeah, I'll be happy to jump at it. But honestly, when I did it, I'm like, okay, there is yet another thing I know how to do now. I know how to deal with this segment that I never thought I'd ever have to deal with. So thank y'all. I know a whole lot of people are going to be helped by that. Let me go ahead and start with Erlen. Good day, pimps. Big fan of your podcast and YouTube channel. Thank you so much. Have you looked into agriculture? I'm a beginner level farmer and came across your YouTube video. Yeah, I know it's been around. He says it's been around since the 1920s. We've never personally done it. Some people say it works great, like over at Deep South Homestead. I think Danny did a couple of videos saying it works out great for him. Other people like Pinball Preparedness have done it, and I don't know that they've, at least it's too early to tell. I haven't personally done it, but it wouldn't shock me if it did work. You know, there's another experiment that I want to do, but I'm not sure that I should do it. There's this other one that I heard from this German engineer a while back, and where, okay, so if you go to the Great Pyramids of Giza, people think there's just four sides.
Yeah.
It's not. They're actually eight-sided. And we didn't know this until right after World War II when a plane flew over on the solstice. And then we find out that there is a slight bevel to each side.
Yeah.
So there's actually eight sides. Well, this engineer took this thing, made like a stick figure of it, and did a plan of two different tomato plants. One, he put a regular triangle or pyramid over it. And then he did one slightly indented to the inside like the Great Pyramids of Giza. And apparently he said that thing was off the chart, that it blew up. So is going right back to this electric culture, maybe there's something there. And like I said, I haven't tested whether or not this pyramid thing works. I've always wanted to do it. Just never actually made time to do it. So I'm curious as to see just how that works out.
Got one from the Vigorous Man on the Fountain app. Hi, both. Love the Pimp Cast. Couple of things from me. The brain will use ketones for fuel when reduced carb consumption, and many find they think better when running on these, as they are a better energy source. Also, William, you will lose weight fast when low carb, as water weight is lost as glycogen supplies and your muscle diminish. Maybe carb up after you weigh in for a fight and gain a few pounds advantage. There is not that much time in between weigh-ins. You weigh in like... Well, it varies at matches, but you weigh in right before you compete, basically. There's no, like, day before weigh-in, But yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, go out there and do some of that Popeye spinach stuff, man.
Yeah, not on this diet.
Yeah,
doing some Popeye bone marrow.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, man, also, man, I'm down to like 185.
Yeah, dad weighs what I weigh now.
And I'm like, okay, this is weird because I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go pee every single night. Now, I understand this stuff is going to hopefully level off at some point, but I'm like, okay, my energy is great. I don't have any energy crashes. It's steady throughout the day. Something of a digestive crisis as of late. But I hear that goes away, too, as things unfold. So
we're all hoping it goes away for dad.
Yeah. Your mom's like, you got the fan on two different bathrooms. What's yep. going on? So, yeah, hopefully. But like I said, I'm down.
Plaque off.
I'm one out of 185. But honestly, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to look flabby, dude, this can't be, man. I'm going to have to kick up the weights a little bit more. And just honestly, I'm eating almost nothing. I'm eating meat and fat, a little bit of vegetables. Like Jack told me, and honestly, my satiety is through the roof. Level energy all throughout the day, high energy, and I feel really good. So I'm going to drive on.
I don't think I'm going to be doing the carnivore thing for like years and years and years or anything like that. I'm going to slowly introduce more things. Because like how many fruit trees, we were talking about this earlier, how many fruit trees do we have? I've been waiting for those things to start producing.
Man,
I'm not going to miss out on that just because I eat meat now.
Dude, I sat there, meat. I looked at those strawberries and I almost started crying like Justin Rose. Yeah. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me, dude. All them strawberries in there, man, I think I'll find a way to boohoo. Matthew says, hey, Billy, first of all, I want to thank you for your family. You helped me find what I want to do as a career, which is to get a PDC and run a homestead. Awesome, Matthew. Second, really enjoyed your last two podcasts talking about compost and biochar. I enjoy listening to them while working out in the garden. Bam! Let's see here.
Did he say that or you?
No, he wrote that.
Oh, okay.
He said, I learned a lot from you, and I'm doing my first attempt at an 18-day compost pile. First flip tomorrow. I'm going to have to try out the biochar tool. You know, I mean, it just gives me such joy when I read stuff like that because there are record numbers getting into this. I don't care how old you are, what you're doing. Matthew, take a lesson from me. Go out there, fail while daring greatly. But obviously, nobody sets out to do that. But you get to a point of mastery. Hang in there.
Got one from Jay Williams on the Fountain app. Just found you all a month ago and can't get enough. I notice you keep your black locusts really small. Is there a scenario where you let them grow into a large tree? Hashtag too big to tuck.
Bam! Yeah.
Let's get that a trending hashtag somewhere.
Yeah.
On Twitter where we're not.
Well, wait till we come out with the t-shirts. So we're trying to figure out how to wait. Yeah, we'll see what happens. See what we got for episode 100. Hopefully it'll work out. Yeah, man. As far as the black locust.
Yeah, why do we keep them so small?
Yeah, because I want them, depending. Now, if I were back in Texas, I would use them as something of an overstory here. And even some of the other varieties, legume trees. Here, that's not as big a concern. I use them primarily because they naturally harbor a lot of the beneficial bugs that want to attack your fruit trees. So you always want to leave them around for that. But as far as getting large, we have so many that are already large on the property that I can use for firewood that I don't have to let these guys get big. I can basically coppice them and keep them within the bounds because they will outgrow everything else around you.
Yeah.
And so when I coppice them, you know, before the idea used to be that when you coppice something, it would self-prune its roots. It doesn't do that. What happens is it puts down these exudates from the plant. And it stimulates the growth of everything else around it. It's a little more of a...
It's attracting the beneficial microbes,
right,
which stimulates everything around it because everything kind of benefits from that one act, right?
Right.
But I'm still going through the course,
y'all. We used to think that it was because it self-prunes its roots. It doesn't make sense because the tree would just fall over. That's not what happens. It's just basically shooting down. Now, if you do it too much, whether it's you overgraze your grass, you coppice too much, yeah, it'll get to the point where it's going to die. But the point of it is the black locust, the reason we never let them get too big in most places is because we have more than enough on this property to supply all the firewood we need. I just need to leave them in bounds because if I let them go too much, they're going to actually shade out the beneficial stuff that I have out there.
Right.
Really great question, though. But thank you so much for checking us out. Tell everybody. Lynette, Wrong email.
I can go again. I got one from the Fountain app, user 6740. Hello, gents. What do you think about using beneficial nematodes to fight pests, specifically ticks? But what I really need to know is if I use triple pack from Arbico or Arbico, what could be some DEFs? I don't have any chickens to help with pests yet, and I don't want to use chemicals. He leaves a link here. We can't click on it through this app. Thanks for any insight, James.
Now, as far as those nematodes, I don't know that unless those nematodes, you got root feeding nematodes, you got bacterial feeding nematodes, you have fungal feeding nematodes, you have omnivore nematodes, and you got, every type of nematode you can possibly
predatory
think of.
Nematodes.
Yeah,
I just did that class.
You got to think about all the different types of nematodes out there, and whether or not they're going to interrupt the life cycle of a pest like a tick. I really don't know. That's something I would like to find out. The thing is, they're not going to do a whole lot to a tick that I know of. I'll have to seek and find out. But right now I could see them. Maybe there's some way it might interrupt the life cycle of a tick. But honestly, that is a really good question. I don't have the answer, so I'll have to look into it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a claim that company specifically makes. But I don't know if nematodes are big enough to interrupt a tick's life cycle, right?
From a larvae standpoint.
But even then, that would still be much larger than a
I don't know.
Nematode.
I don't know. But a nematode, you're going to look at it on 100x on your microscope, so it's considerably larger than a lot of other things out there. That being the case, is that I'm sitting here, I'm thinking the only way I can see it interrupting. I mean, I don't know. I got to look into it. I really don't have a good answer on that. There might be some way. I mean, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if you can solve that problem, you're going to make some money, nephew.
Yeah.
Got one here from Jeff and Shelly. Question on comfrey. If I purchase more root stock, then I'm ready to actually plan out. You recommend a method of holding and storing my extra roots until I can get them in the ground. Probably start them in a tray or compost or shade or refrigerate. You can leave them in the fridge for how long do you think, son?
Like 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
I mean, saying that, we've left some in there considerably longer, throw them out there, grew them, and they did fine.
People are writing to me telling me they forgot about them a year ago and they're out there planting them. It's not recommended. It's always best to get them. But you have options. You can sit there. You can do what Eric Seidig used to do, is put them in those fabric pots.
Yeah.
You can put them in regular pots. You can leave them in there for a while, but they're not going to keep forever. I think every day that they're sitting in the refrigerator is a day that it could be outside somewhere putting in roots.
But also make sure that's where you want it too, because it ain't going anywhere after you plant it there and it gets established.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got the cool thing is that with comfrey you got options.
Yeah.
Wouldn't leave it in the fridge forever and a day though.
Yeah.
If you got a gorilla garden, that's one of the things I've been wanting to do with some of these other things, is I'm going to actually gorilla garden some comfrey somewhere, stop sign, someplace you're going to remember it. Maybe alongside the road. I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Gorilla garden other people's flower beds.
Yeah, yeah.
Next spring, they just have like five comfrey plants.
They got little purple
popping
flowers popping up out of there, and then they got no idea what they did. So you got options.
Got one from Heath Hass on the YouTube channel, Permaculture Pimpcast. Check us out there. It's linked down below. Hold the mind and stay the course, gents. You have this northern hillbilly preacher having people wondering why in the world I'm sharing how I've been taking advice from a pimp. It creates a door for me for some great conversation. Working on a successful batch of 18-day compost and getting ready for the chicken tractor on steroids. Hallelujah. Many blessings to you both. Here's to being victors in faith and not victims of circumstance. Shalom. HCH.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Hey, if anybody wants to see it also, nothing wrong with the 18-day pile, but remember, you're going to flip that thing a minimum of 8 times. It could be double that. This new method we're teaching over on Patreon, you can sign up at Patreon for as little as $1 or as much as $25, depending on what you feel like you want to give. And we're teaching this method over there. It seems like a number of people are really digging it. We're not all the way done yet, but basically we're showing you how to do it. We're taking a bunch of different dogs to the hunt as far as how we're doing this process. But essentially, you're making you're making compost with basically 2-3 flips at the most. And then if you want to refine it more, you can speed up the process by doing some other tricks we're going to show you.
Really open for like however you want to do it. It's not.
By that I mean
like if you want it to stop after 3, you can, or depending on what you're going to do with it, you can interact with it more. Stuff like that.
I'm going to show you in the subsequent weeks how you can take this thing. You can leave it right here and have a laissez-faire approach to it. Just make sure your moisture's up to snuff and then just sit here and wait. But if you don't mind getting a workout, you can speed up this process a little bit more. Now, keep in mind, you keep flipping that compost, you keep screwing up your fungal, your mycelial layer.
Your hyphae.
Yeah. So you're going to want to make absolutely sure that you get to a point where you leave it alone, let it cure, let your fungal stuff do its work. That's important. So anyway, let me just say it like this. For everybody that's out there, everybody was going on about, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that because we don't have nitrogen-based fertilizers. Guess what? You don't need them. If you learn how to make really good compost and we're showing you how to do it, this is why you've never once seen us say, go out there and get triple 13 or this or that or 10-20-10. We've never used it. We don't have to. As long as you got that life in your soil, as long as you're making good compost, you can tweak it to whatever you've got to be going. So let's say I'm putting in a food forest. I know I want it to be heavily fungal. Or let's say I'm using it in the pasture. Well, I want it 50-50 fungal and bacteria. You see? When you know how to do these things, you never have to worry about whether or not you got a supply of nitrogen-based fertilizer. Besides, like Jim Garrish wrote the book, Kick the Hay Habit. Well, maybe one needs to be written called Kick the Nitrogen or Fertilizer Habit. Because all you're doing is kicking a bunch of salts down into your property. Look, if it's soluble in water, it's basically a salt. You get the right life in your soil, you really don't need to do much else. Once you get it in balance,
just maintain it.
Yes. Unless you do something foolish like, you know, don't cover it up, which nature doesn't like to be bare. Or if you do something foolish like you spray some junk on it, 7-Dust, whatever the case, you're going to start right back over at square one. You're going to kill everything in the soil that makes it soil. You're turning your soil into dirt. So, folks, I didn't mean to go on that sidekick, but that's the whole reason why we went back to the basics and said, let's talk and teach everybody how to make this compost. Better still, you want to make me very happy? Send me a video or send me a picture of the compost that you make using these methods. Better still.
No, send us a picture. We'll take a compilation, post it.
My point being is that what's more important, I want you to go out there and teach others how to do it. Okay, you're learning from us. Develop it. It doesn't take that long to do it. And then start other classes because those are people that are not going to be competition when things get stupid. And they're almost certainly going to do it sooner rather than later.
Got one from Trash Can Bees on the YouTube channel. Sorry, this question is kind of long, but I was wondering if the comfrey salve might be helpful for pain associated with endometriosis. I have a friend who is severely afflicted by it, and she's had one surgery to remove a lot of the scar tissue, but she actually needs a second one soon to get the rest. In the meantime, though, she has been having unbearable pain. Would the comfrey salve help reduce the cramping as well as promote healing internally, or is it better for more of a topical uses? Thank you.
I don't know if I'd be using this stuff on the inside, but I mean, I don't know that it would hurt anything, but I wouldn't do it. I mean, it's meant for topical use exclusively, but there's a reason they call this stuff knit bone, you know.
I mean, it gets down in there.
It gets in there. I don't know if it's going to work on endometriosis because, you know, number one, usually from what I've heard, I'm no expert. It seems as if a number of people have had relief from that by getting their diet squared away. It seems as if this carnivore diet has helped a lot of women in terms of the endometriosis. I would look into it. And then also some of the work from Mark Sisson. You might want to look into that as well. As far as comfrey salve works on so many wonderful things, it does, but whether it does it on endometriosis, I really don't know.
I'd give it a shot. Don't go like cutting yourself and packing it in there or anything like that. But also, if you grow the plant itself, you can make a poultice out of the leaf and maybe wrap the area in that.
Give it a shot. Let us know.
Yeah.
Right here from Dave. I was wondering if you do on-site permaculture design consulting and design. Dave, we get this a lot. And so what do we always tell everybody?
We send them to Eric Sider, who can do it online. It's linked down below. He does outstanding consultations. He's worked under Jeff. He does consultations for Jeff Lawton. Yeah. He does consultations for Jeff Lawton. But we link him down below, and he can hook you up pretty much online.
Yeah, he's one of the best designers. You're not going to find anybody better.
Yeah.
And frankly, we're just up to our eyeballs with so many different things. I thank you for thinking of us. But honestly, check out the link below. You will be glad you did. And a lot of people ask about consultations and stuff like that. You can't go wrong with Eric, y'all.
No.
Also, he's got the ball in this permaculture t-shirt you're ever going to find. So go check those out as well.
Yeah, also get a consultation from him before he realizes how awesome he is.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't realized it yet.
Yeah, Eric, he's very humble guy, very knowledgeable, sharpens so many, eats, drinks, breathes, everything else, permaculture. And, yeah, he's just one of those, you know, evil geniuses out there, but he's not evil. All right, y'all. Hopefully this show, I hope it wasn't a downer for anybody. For me, it was very cathartic. And hopefully I'm going to sleep very well tonight, and I think your mom too, because this is something I really had to get off my mind. I mean, I didn't plan on taking this past my family, but when I realized she came to me and said, hey, okay, now that you brought this up, here's what I'm dealing with, then I realized immediately this is something that everybody could probably benefit from. All right, y'all, we love y'all, and we thank you so much for your support. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Give them nature.